About this morning. Excited to share with you. It's a beautiful morning. I love this time of year. You know, the newness of the morning is so fresh. We've had a lot of baby goats, and it's just been, you know, it's a time of new life, and it's kind of neat. I walk around outside on our patio and just enjoy the morning, and man, the sun comes up so early. It's such a blessing, and life just seems to be just busting all over the place, so I love that. You know, this morning I just wanted to, first before we jump into the message this morning, I just wanted to clarify something that happened last week. It happened in second service, so you guys, if you were here, you might have heard about it, but you might not have, you didn't experience it. So in between the worship time and the teaching time, and you can go back and you can listen to what was actually said. Anne came up after the worship time. Miss Anne, I call her Miss Anne, because we've known them, their family, for a long time, and we call David Maloney, Big David, and his son, Little David. And pretty soon we're going to be calling Little David Dr. David, because he's going to be a doctor in chemistry, so that's pretty awesome. Anne came up, and she was just feeling overwhelmed by the Lord, and, you know, the Lord was doing some neat things in the lives of people around her, and she just wanted to express what the Lord was putting upon her heart. And so she asked me, she said, "Can I share something?" Jeff wasn't quite up, and I said, "Yeah, sure," you know. And then she proceeded to go on and talk about how she felt that the Lord was saying through the gift of tongues, and she was giving an interpretation of that tongue. And she said, she was saying things like, I have it all written down on my computer, but that the Lord loves us, that He dwells in the praises of His people, that He inhabits the praises, that He's enraptured with our praise and our worship. And so I was like, yeah, right on. That's what the Lord does. You know, when the Lord moves upon our hearts, it's awesome. And so that was, but the idea there of tongues and the interpretation, you know, later on in the week, you know, Jeff and I were kind of talking about it, and we both agreed that, no, that really wasn't an interpretation of tongues. Anne had said that maybe somebody had spoken them quietly to themselves or out loud or, you know, something like that. And then she encouraged people to speak out, you know, if they have that moving of the Spirit in their life. So I feel like Anne, actually, she wanted clarification too, because later on she was studying and she just really felt like it wasn't really an interpretation of tongues. It was a word of exhortation or a word of prophecy. Now, a word of prophecy would not entail necessarily a foretelling. We see that in Scripture for sure. But, you know, the word of prophecy is really a forthtelling of God's word, and that's exactly what she did. I mean, I could find the references for verses for what she had shared with the body. So, you know, in that, you know, it's kind of a hard situation because here we are, you know, can I say something? You know, and we by faith are stepping out, and by faith is stepping out in the congregation coming up here and saying, hey, I really feel like the Lord is giving me something to share here to the body. You know, what do we do with that? You know, do we say, oh no, let's shut that down? And, you know, we don't want that. We want the moving of the Spirit. I pray. I prayed this morning for a long time. Lord, move within our body. May your Spirit move within the hearts of your people. Now, how does that come out in our gifting and our calling? And I just want to read to you chapter 14 from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And this is what it says. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Or spirituals, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. So, you know, we just want to bring clarity. You know, the Lord is moving and working within our midst. You know, the Holy Spirit is working within us as a body of Christ. He's here. He dwells within, our hearts. We are a temple of the Spirit of God. And so we want to do things in decently in order. If you read down through there, chapter 14, you'll see that that's what Paul says. The gifts should be done in decently and in order, and that's what we want. And so really, this isn't a correction, but it's a clarification and just wanting. It's love, really, that we would walk in love together and that we would be able to share, you know, how the Lord is moving and working in our lives. So does anybody have any questions? I really opened myself up, huh? You know what? The Lord wants to move. Man, don't you want to see the life of the Lord in your life? Wow, I do. You know, I so want to see that. You know, I've been in the church all my life. You know, I was raised in it. You know, and it can become just something that is, you know, just a well-oiled machine. Or it can be something that's not living. But you know what? We have the living power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you know, personally, what I want to see is I want to see the Lord working in and through my life. And I want to see that in your lives as well. And so I would just encourage you to step out in faith. All the gifts of the Spirit, whether it's evangelism, prophecy, tongues, helps, you name it. All the gifts are done in faith as we trust the Lord and we step out, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do. So, you know, I just want to encourage you in that. And that's what Anne was, she was wanting to encourage the church in that as well. So, so let's pray. If there's no questions, let's pray. Lord, we just really thank you for your love for us and for your grace and your mercy. Lord, we are people that are walking through this life. We're not perfect. We understand that. We know that you're sanctifying us. We know that, you know, there's more to our faith than we have experienced yet. And that's really exciting when we really think about that, when we meditate on what you want to do in our lives, the abundant life of the believer. And so, Lord, this morning, we just pray, Lord, that you would move upon our hearts, Lord, that you would share your word with us in a living way, in a powerful way, and that we would be obedient, Lord, to what you're calling us to personally. A lot of different personalities here, a lot of different giftings. Lord, you created each one of us. You love us, and you are empowering us to walk this life and to be everything that you've called us to be. And I just really thank you for that, and I pray for my brothers and sisters this morning that they would be encouraged by your word, that they would be encouraged to walk in what you have for them this week and today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So with that, are you content with your life? Are you content in where you are? Are you content with your, you know, are you content as a husband? Are you content as a wife? Are you, you know, is your family where you want it to be? Are your kids, your relationship with your kids, are they, is it what you want and what you see? And maybe even as you read through scripture, are you reflecting what the word of God says in those relationships? How about as an employee? Are you content with where you are and what God has done in that area of your life? Or as a boss, you know, maybe you are an employer. And you know, you have all these relationships that you're trying to maintain, and you're you know, you have this witness as a Christian employer. Are you really content with where you're at in that? And I think we would all probably shake our heads and say, no, there's things that God wants to do in my life. Are we experiencing all that God has for us? And I know that I am not experiencing. I know that what the word of God says, that there's more there for me to walk in. And so, you know, that's kind of what we're going to talk about this morning. And I, you know, that's the heart as we've been going through Romans, you know, and as Jeff has been teaching through. I mean, we are in some amazing chapters from 8 on out. I mean, there's just so much application, and there's so much call and exhortation to the life of the believer to really walk. Not just the doctrine of, you know, we've laid the foundation of where we are, who God is, but there's going to be this exhortation that we walk, that we go out and we do these things, and this is how it happens. So this morning, as we are here this morning. And as the Lord wants to speak to us, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 through 8. And we're going to see what the Lord has for us in this. This is a pretty amazing chapter. God wants to, you know, he wants us to walk in the abundant life. And I'm hoping that you'll see that some answers to those questions of, you know, are we content? There's an abundance here that God wants for us. Finally, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanliness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. You know, are you content in your life? Are you content with the direction your life is going, the relationships that you have? Are you content in those things? You know, God desires more for us. And that first verse there in chapter 4 there, finally, brethren, we urge and exhort you. You can almost hear the pleas and the call that Paul has. You know, he desires, he urges them. He wants to press them into action, and that's what that word there, urges, means, to press into action. Not just to sit back and just to believe, or, you know, he wants to take that knowledge base that they have, the things that he instructed them and told them. He wants them to take that knowledge base and put it into action. And that is where we are as Christians today as well. We're no different than the Thessalonians. That's what I hope, that through this time that we have together, that you will feel that pressing into action. That you would be pressed to take the knowledge that you gain and take that and really act upon it and be obedient and walk in it. That's the heart of Paul. He wants them to walk in it. Exhort. He's urging them and exhorting them. So he's, and that word is really interesting there. It means to come alongside of. That he wants us to come alongside. He wants us to come into this that he's really experiencing. You know, the word for the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, it comes, these both have the same root, coming alongside. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside us. And this is what Paul wants. He wants us to actually come alongside him, and he wants to press us into action alongside what he has said, what he has taught, what he's doing, the example of his life. And so, you know, I can just sense his heart in this is for us and the Lord here. The heart is that we would, you know, come to this place, that we would be pressed into action. That you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk. Some of the other versions, they put walking and pleasing before the abounding, and that's kind of the order that I'm going to take this morning. You know, we know what walking is. I think all of us know that it's movement, really, isn't it? It's putting one foot in front of the other and moving through, you know, on a path or on a road or somewhere, a direction, we're going somewhere. Walking is movement. And you know, that concept is applied to the Christian life, that we are moving through this life. We're walking. So it's the way that we walk. You know, there's a lot of things that are characteristics about the way that we walk or the way that we live our life. I think that for us, you know, the call here is that we would evaluate the way that we walk. What do we look at? You know, I can tell from a distance, can't you? Can you tell your spouse or your kids from the way that they walk? There's an identification there with it. You know, the way that they walk. Well, the same is true for us as we're walking in the Christian life. There's an identification. What is the character? What is the, how are people identifying you as you walk as a Christian? So this is the idea that Paul is saying here, that you, how you ought to walk. There is a way that a Christian walks. And we know also that there is a direction that the Christian walks. In Ephesians chapter 2, look what it says about our walk. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. This is Ephesians 2:10. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know, the walk that we are walking, it's a walk that is ordained by the Lord. It's ordered by the Lord. In the Psalms, it talks about the righteous man. His steps are ordered by the Lord. Our walk is ordered by the Lord. And so the call to us is, hey, I need to sit back and meditate on this. You know, are my steps ordered by the Lord? Is my walk ordered by the Lord? Am I walking how I ought to walk? Are these the things that God has for me to walk in? Have you guys ever been on a treadmill before? It's kind of interesting. You can set a pattern, can't you, for your treadmill? You can preset it. Yeah, I want this one. It's really aggressive. I'm walking uphill, you know, sweating. I'm the fat. It's the fat burner program. You know, here I go. I'm programmed to go, and I just do with that treadmill. You know, in a sense, you know, that's the Christian walk. It is programmed by the Lord. The steps are ordered by the Lord. A righteous man, his steps are ordered by the Lord. And so, you know, Paul is encouraging them. He's pressing them into action that their steps would be ordered by the Lord. And that takes, you know, some thought on our part. It takes some prayer. It takes us looking to the Lord. It takes, you know, our eyes to be upon him. And then the other one that I think is really amazing here is that Paul is encouraging them how they ought to walk and to please God. You know, that's interesting in a lot of different ways. I mean, do you think of God as being pleased? That word pleased there is actually, you know, what it means is to incite emotion. That's strange that Paul would use something like that. To incite passion or emotion. You know, I was playing disc golf the other day, and I'm sorry, that's one of the things that I've been doing a lot, so I'll probably mention this a couple of times playing disc golf. But, you know, I was at this hole, and I don't know if you know, you throw these little discs, frisbee discs, you know, at this target, and there's chains, and it's kind of like golf. You know, you have a par, and you try to do it in a certain number of shots and all this. Well, here I am. I got this long putt. You call it a putt, even with a frisbee. And so here I am. You know, I don't remember how far it was, but I threw it, and it went right in the chains and hit. It's really a cool sound, and I just let out a woo, you know? Yeah! I was really pleased. It incited emotion in me. I couldn't hold back. I was like, yeah. I mean, echoing there, you know? But I was excited. I was excited about what had just happened. What pleases you? What are the things that please you? Are you incited in an emotional way about some things? I mean, I think that probably one of the things we could talk about is our kids. When our kids do something we really are excited about, that we're really pleased with, there is a welling up of just pride, and we're just really happy. We're really grateful. We're really, I don't know, what do you say? We are moved to a place where our emotions and our passions are reached. You know, that's what God... You know, that's the life of the believer. Are we pleasing to the Lord? You know, I think of an extreme example is from the word is, you know, Stephen. You know, when Stephen in Acts there, where he is standing there giving testimony, and he says that he sees the Lord there standing. standing up. And I just see that as God pleased, Jesus pleased with this man who has given his life, you know, and walked in this way that was characteristic of the nature and the character of Christ. You know, God was pleased with that. And, there is a way that we can please the Lord. There is a way that we can please the Lord. And Paul expresses that to us, that he wants us to walk as we ought to walk and that we please God. And that, to me, is something that, you know, I want to take time to meditate and to think about those things. Hebrews 11 gives us another picture of pleasing God. How is that? It's by faith that we please God. We step out in faith, not on our own abilities or not on our own strengths, but we step out as the Lord leads us. Let me read Romans 8:8 to you. You know, we just talked about it last week. What is pleasing to the Lord? Well, this puts it in a little bit of a different light, you know. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, if we're walking in the flesh, and Jeff, you know, went through and talked about what is, you know, walking in the flesh, those things, walking according to our natural nature, our natural tendencies, our sinful nature, there is a way that we can do that. We can walk in those. Paul encourages us always not to walk as the Gentiles walk or that we formerly walked in, but that we walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. And how we please the Lord? We walk in faith and we walk in the Spirit there. We walk in the power of the Spirit and not in the power of our flesh. You know, these two things are there, and he wants us, you know, Paul wants us to abound more and more in that. He wants, and the Lord wants us to abound more and more. That word there, abounding, is just really, it's a great word because it means super abounding or super excess, teeming. You know, it's just, there's just a multitude. We're abounding more and more in our walk and in pleasing God. You know, there's a place over, and I've always been kind of afraid of that in my life, that my life, my Christian walk would just kind of be stagnant. Have you ever felt that way? That it would just be kind of going through the motions, or that you'd just kind of be doing the things that are in front of you without that passion, without that desire, without the life of Christ. I've had a fear of that in my life. I want to live in a way where there is life and that's abounding. You know, there's a place as we played disc golf. It's over off of Patterson, but you're going through this ditch kind of goes through and you play these holes over this place. Well, there's a certain place that I've lost a bunch of discs in, and we call it the Dead Marshes. You know, because you never know what you're going to find down there. You go down there and there's that oil slick over the top of the water, you know, of dead stuff that's just there, you know, this stagnant place. And here I am, my disc is right in the middle. And the thing was, you know, $17, I got to go get that thing. So I jump out there and I'm walking through this. Who knows what you're going to step on? You know, what is buried in this yuck? You know, that's stagnation. There's a stink that rises from it. You know, and I think that our lives can get to that place. You know, there are things that we hold on to in unforgiveness that allow our life, you know, the life of the believer, where we are to be living in an abundant life, we're actually not forgiving. We're holding on to these things, these hurts and things that are there, and we are stagnating. We are stagnating. There are things that lurk there that are just no good. There's depression. There's an inward turning of our heart to ourselves. There is a place where, you know, our emotions are tied to circumstances instead of to the life that we have in Christ and the freedom that we have in him. You know, bitterness is one of those other places of stagnation in a Christian's life where we become just lethargic. Condemnation comes in. You know, and the enemy comes in, and, you know, all kinds of dead things lurk there if we stagnate and we allow, you know, anger, frustration, depression, discontentedness, covetousness. You know, where we're just really wanting something. I mean, Paul said that, and Jeff talked about it in Ephesians. That's how he knew that he was a sinner. Because he's not to covet, and yet, what was Paul coveting? You know, I think Jeff is right. He was coveting position, power. He was coveting this place in rule in the Jewish world. You know, there's that place where we can just give over to these things, and you know, our life in Christ starts to stagnate. And you know, Paul is saying, "Hey, you guys, I don't want your walk to be that way. I want you to be pleasing to the Lord. I want you to be full. I want you to be abounding." You know, and this is the thing about the gift of Jesus. Look at Romans 5:15. You know, we've gone over this too as Jeff was teaching this, but this really struck me as just a beautiful example, because this is what the core is of the abundant life. This is where it all starts. This is where we enter into it. 5 verse 15, Romans 5:15. "But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many." That is where it starts. It starts with that free gift that God has given. It starts with God's grace, the gift of his grace. And you know, I was just thinking about grace. Really, grace is everything that God has applied to you. It's everything that God has applied to your life. The nature of what Jesus has done, the nature of what Jesus has done for you as a believer, when you said, "Yes, I surrender my heart, I surrender my life to Jesus," the nature of what happens there, that transformation is abundance. That is the nature of the gift. And not just in a corporate sense. That's what Romans 5 talks about. It says that corporately, there is this gift that's given to many people. You know, all under sin and under Adam died. But the gift that Jesus gives is like that. It abounds to many. Not only corporately, but personally in your life, that is the gift that Jesus has given, the grace of God, personally in your life is abundant. It goes beyond what you think. It goes beyond anything that you can actually put a cap on. You know, that is the nature of the gift. It's abundance. And that's the nature of God's grace. He gives and he gives and he gives. And that's why when we were taking communion this morning, I was just really blessed by that little place that he continued to give. He promised that he wasn't going to, you know, he wasn't going to taste of the vine. That to me is amazing, and it shows the abundant giving. He's willing to lay himself down for us, not just at the cross, but continually throughout our life, and that really is the process of sanctification. That's the process. It's a continual thing that happens in our lives as we let go of ourselves and we allow the Spirit of God to change us and to sanctify us. And that's right where, you know, Paul goes here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Back there, you know what the commandment was that we gave through the Lord Jesus? "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess your own vessel in sanctification and honor." This is where he goes. He goes to the place of the will. How do we please the Lord? We walk in his will. And I think that all of us are, you know, at some time in our life, we've wondered, well, what is the will of God? Maybe we've prayed it in our prayers, you know, as we're gathered with our family. Lord, lead us, guide us. We want to walk in your will. What is your will in this situation? You know, but there's a very general place where his will is at, and it's sanctification. It is that you would be sanctified and set apart. And that's what the word sanctified means. It means to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be purified. The whole idea comes out of the Old Testament sacrificial system. That's where, Paul was a Jew. A lot of the people that he was talking to were Jews throughout his ministry. They understood that. They understood that nothing happened within the sacrificial, in the temple, really, without purification, without setting apart. Continually. It wasn't just one time that they did it, but it was a continual process of sanctification. It was a continual process of anointing. And, you know, I was just reading through one of my favorite places to read about sanctification really is in Leviticus. And if you'll go there real quick, we will read a few verses here. Should have marked it. I get all nervous and can't find anything. My fingers don't work. It's really bad when you're playing the guitar. Genesis, Exodus. I got to do that in my mind. Leviticus. You know, let's see, Leviticus chapter 8, that's where we want to go, because that's where, you know, the priests are set apart, and I think that this really bears witness to my heart and into our lives, because this is, I mean, this is just part. I mean, Leviticus is all about sanctification, it's all about blood, it's all about anointing, it's all about setting apart. I mean, that's what Leviticus is. You know, that's the main focus of Leviticus. But here within chapter 8, we see that not only were the vessels and the implements of the temple, they're not the only things that were sanctified and set apart. The people that served there were set apart. And these were the priests. These were Aaron and his sons. And Moses takes them. And look at what it says here in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, a bull as a sin offering, two rams, a basket of unleavened bread, and gather all the congregation together at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. This is the setup here. Something's going on here. Gather everybody. Gather the congregation. Here's the things you're going to need for this. And then there's four things that happen here. There's four things that I think are really important, and they really reflect the work that God does in our hearts and our lives as he wants to set us apart for ministry, for usefulness. The first one is that they were washed. Look at in verse 6 there. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons, and he washed them with water. You know, you as a believer, you were washed as you were baptized. Hopefully you've all been baptized in obedience to the Lord. You know, and in that cry of, hey, I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm changed. I'm not the old Aaron. I'm not the old person there. I'm not walking in that nature, but I'm new. We're washed in the water. We're washed. And then number two there is that, I got to read my little writing here. We're robed. And look what it says there in verse 7. And he put the tunic on him and girded him with the sash, clothed him with the rope and put the ephod on him, and he girded him with the intricately woven hand or band of the ephod, and with it tied the ephod on him. You know, he was robed. There were special clothes that they wear, and it's exactly, we are robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness in Christ, and we are robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is our new nature. That is what he has applied to us. That's what we walk in. We walk in a change of clothes that he has given to us, the righteousness of Jesus. So, you know, that's what, when people look, they should see that righteous life there. The third thing that happens there is that they're anointed. And he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. Ephesians says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:23 says we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us. We're anointed with the Holy Spirit. We are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are anointed just as they were here. And then the last one there would be we are covered by blood. And this is, you know, very important. This is what we always pull out of the sacrificial system is all of the animals that are getting killed, all of the blood that's sprinkled on things. To sanctify them, to purify them. It wasn't a one-time deal. And that's where we're so thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I mean, Hebrews makes it very clear that those animals, their sacrifice and their blood sacrifice could never cover our sins. It could purify. It could, you know, it could set apart these utensils. In obedience to the Lord, they went through with all of those things. But you know what? We are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is final. and it is there over our lives. This is what happened, and listen to this. This is a great picture of what God wants to do in your life and my life. Okay, as we talk about the walk, as we talk about pleasing the Lord in our day-to-day actions, this is really, I think this is just really cool. So verse 23 says, and Moses killed it, the bull, or the ram. He killed the ram. Also, he took some of its blood and he put it on the tip of Aaron's right finger, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Then he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put some of the blood on the tips of their right ears, on their thumbs, the right hand, and the big toe of their right foot. And Moses sprinkled the blood all around on the altar. Isn't that a great picture? You know what? We are covered by the blood. Our ears, our hands, our toes, where what we hear, what we speak out, what we do with our hands, where we go with our feet. I just think that's a great picture of who we are in the sanctification process, that we would be purified for the Lord, that we would be useful for him to use day by day in and through our lives. So, you know, I just love that. I just love what it communicates to us about, you know, that this sanctification process isn't something new. It's been going on, and God has set it up so that we can understand it and know and walk in it. And so I just really pray that the Lord would just really, do a work in your heart and in your life in that, that you would understand that sanctification. You know, Jeff has talked about our salvation, that we've been justified, that we are being sanctified. And, you know, last week in the life group questions, we were talking about that verse of that we are being saved. And then the end result is that we're glorified, that there's a place that we're looking forward to. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of peace that God is going to glorify us. We're going to be out of this body. We're going to have a new body in the Lord, and we are going to be able to walk, in a glorified way before the Lord. And so in this life here, we have this possibility. We have this hope. We have this desire to have that abundant, the abundant life, pouring out of us. And it really does. It really comes down to our sanctification. Are we allowing the Lord to sanctify us? Are we walking in that holy place of, being set apart for him, being purified for him? Romans chapter 8 says there that if we walk in the flesh, that we're going to, that we're going to reap the fruit of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, we're going to reap life, abundant life. So, there's so much we could say about sanctification and being cleansed by the blood. You know, Romans 12:1 says that we are to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. It's our reasonable worship. And we're not to be conformed to this world, but we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is exactly what Romans 8 talks about, that there's a mindset. We are not to have a carnal mind, but we are to have a spiritual mind. We're transformed by the Spirit of God moving in our hearts and our minds. So generally, we are to possess our own vessel. Specifically, we are to, and this was his call to the Thessalonian church, that they would abstain from sexual immorality. That was a specific guideline that he was giving to those people. We know that, the Greek gods, and we know some of the practices, the religion, the religions, the temples that they had that had prostitutes in them and all, and it was very fitting for them. But I think that call to us is very important today, that we would abstain from sexual immorality. It's a constant thing in our culture. It's right in front of our eyes all the time. I mean, the billboards, the ads on TV, there's a lot there for us to be incited in our passions. And that's exactly what Paul is getting at here. He's saying you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust. We think of lust often as just, sexual lust or sexual desire, but it's really, that's not the only lust that we have. That idea there for lust is a feeling which the mind suffers. It's an affection of the mind or the emotions. And we can have all kinds of affections. We can have all kinds of passions. We can have all kinds of lusts for things. You know, Paul singles it out, and it's appropriate for us today as well, that we, you know, that we really abstain, or we hold ourselves from this, that we are sanctified and holy for the Lord, not for sexual immorality, not for the passions of this body, the passion of lust. You know, it's interesting that he calls us a vessel. We need to understand that we are a vessel, that we are a vessel for sanctification and honor. And we are to walk in a way, you know, it goes right back to the walk. What are people seeing? What are people saying? What are the jokes that we're telling? You know, what are the things that we really are passionate about? You know, I have to, you know, I've used this as an example, disc golf a couple times already. I really like to play it, okay? I could probably play it every day. And even this morning, I was thinking, man, I don't really want to get up and share with everybody. I'd rather go play disc golf, you know? I mean, really, I just want to be honest with you. I really would. That's my natural man. I have to step out in faith and do what the Lord has called me to do. Any passion or lust that we have that's captivating our heart and our mind, it has to come under the control of the Holy Spirit. Just as Jeff talked, you know what? We are a triune nature, aren't we? And when Adam sinned, that all got flipped up over. You know, it's either going to be the heart, it's either going to be the soul or the body that rules a person in the world. And we've known that. I've known that. I've walked that way. You know, but that transformation that happens that Paul's talking about here, the abundant life, it's where the Spirit of God becomes our focus, where the Spirit life and the life in the Spirit becomes what we live for and what is the driving force. Not the lusts of our body, not the passions of our mind and our heart, but really the Spirit of God becomes the driving force in our lives. And, you know, that is a process of letting go. You know, there are some things in my life that I don't even know that I am capable of. There are some things in my life that I don't even understand about myself. I don't know why I responded that way. I don't know why that bitterness. I don't know why that comment hit me so hard that now I'm just really angry and really upset, and I just really don't like that person. You know, I don't always understand that kind of thing, and the Lord is always stirring me up. And he is bringing me to a place, and I believe that that's all part of that process of sanctification as he stirs us up, because I am responding in my body, in my mind, in my heart to something that I don't understand, and I need the clarity of the Lord to come in, and I need the Word of God, and we're going to get to that here in a second. I need the Word of God to bring clarity to my life so that I can get back on track where the Spirit is the guiding and directing force of my life, not my body, not my passion, not my bitterness, not my anger, not my frustration, not my fear, not my insecurities, but that the Spirit of God becomes the passion and the driving force of my life. That I want to be pleasing, that I want to walk with him, that I want to be set apart, that I want to walk in faith. I want to step out. I want to, you know, do the things that he's calling me to do. You know, it's not always easy. And we're going to talk about this next week. We're going to talk about sanctification and how really suffering and trials are part of that sanctification process. And so I want to end with this. See my little guys here? You've probably been wondering, what are those pink little guys? This is SpongeBob. Okay, and this is Sponge Rita. No, and they're not here, and I actually didn't tell him, but I know Bob would be. He'd be sitting back there going, ah, ha, 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 you know, so, you know what, these are my little guys, SpongeBob and Sponge Rita. I was going to pick some other names, but I didn't want to offend anybody, you know, if somebody comes in, but I know those people, so that's why I picked them. They don't really reflect SpongeBob on TV or anything like that. I'm not making that kind of a statement. I'm just saying that this is you and me. You know, we are like this. We are like sponges. And that's what Paul's saying. Hey, you're a vessel. You're a vessel. Vessels are filled. Well, we know what the use of a sponge is. It's filled with something. It's going to be filled with something. Right now, it's filled with air. There's nothing in it, you know, but air. But it's filled. It's got little places in it that get filled up, you know, and that hold things. And you know, I really think that this is a reflection of our lives, that we are like a sponge. What are we soaking up? What are we taking in? What are we about? What are the little places of our life being filled with? It's really important. And we'll have part two on SpongeBob and SpongeRita next week. But let's turn to a passage of scripture here. In the book of John, this was some of the last things that Jesus said to his disciples before he was betrayed and taken, you know, away from them. They were crushed. You know, in that Passover time, as he's washing those disciples' feet and as they're taking communion that we talked about this morning, there were two guys there. There were two guys there. There was Judas and there was Peter. Both of them betrayed the Lord. Both of them betrayed the Lord. Both of them had something in their heart, and they couldn't deal with it. It overcame them. You know, Peter and Judas. But you know what? Out of that time, you know, right before that time, you know, Jesus had prayed for Peter. He loved him. He prayed for him that he would be restored, you know, beforehand. And, you know, I just really feel that that's the way that God is looking at us as well. You know, sometimes we walk in the ways of our flesh. Sometimes we don't understand what's going on. Sometimes we don't know why we are feeling so, you know, angry or so filled with these emotions and these passions that are in our bodies and our minds. But you know what? This is what Jesus says. He says in chapter 17, verse 16, "They are not of the world." And he's speaking of his disciples, you know, and he's praying to the Father. "They are not of the world." He's praying for Peter, you know. He's not of the world. You know, "as I am not of the world." And then verse 17 says, he says, "Sanctify them by your truth." So we know that sanctification is not just Paul's desire. It's not just Paul's, you know, encouragement to the Thessalonians. No, this is Jesus's desire. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." You know what? You are a sponge. What are you soaking up? What are you soaking up? It's really very simple. The abundant life is very simple. If you really want the abundance of God in your life and you want to be poured out for him, if you want that in your family and in your marriage, what are you soaking up? What is in all the little places of your, you know, your life? What's in there? Because it's gonna come out. That's the other thing about a sponge. It comes out really pretty easily. And you know what? That is what trials and tribulations do in our lives. They bring things out of us. What is it that's being out? What's coming out? Not only in your walk in the way that people observe you, but in your difficult times, in the things that you go on in your family, what comes out? You know, this is the exhortation that the Lord has for us, I believe, that we, you know, we are these little sponge guys, and we're in the word. We are in the word. We're soaking it up. We're soaking up the word of God, the written word of God, but also we're stepping out and we're hearing from the Lord. And we're soaking up with the Lord. You know what? In my quiet time, I just don't sit there and just read and just plow through the word of God. I don't do that. You know what? Sometimes I go out on my patio and I sit out there and I meditate on it. I sit out there in the patio and I meditate on what, and I just listen to the Lord. I just meditate. I just allow him to touch my heart and my life and to take that truth that I've just read and bury it. Bury it into who I am. That's what I want. That's my desire. I want the life of Christ. It's not just about reading the word. You know what? I want to hear his voice. And that's what we talked about last week. Jeff said, you know, I just think that it's interesting that Anne came up and she said, you know, I have a word from the Lord and I just want to share it with the body. She stepped out in faith. You know, and what she said was really a great encouragement. We need to worship. We need to pour our hearts out to the Lord as a body. We need to come to this time. It's special. It's not just some ritual. God wants to speak to your heart. He wants to do a work in you and through your life. And so listen. Listen to him. Listen to his word. Listen to how his word is working in your heart and your life. It's really important. You know what I did the other day? And I'm just going to leave you with this illustration. What I did the other day is I dehorned my little baby goats. Okay, if you, I don't know if you understand what that is, but really it's a 900,000 watt or 1,000 degree little soldering iron thing that's a circle, and you stick it right on the bud of those horns, and you just for about 5 seconds, and you burn. It stinks, it's nasty, it's gross. But this is the thing that happened after that. You know, I really didn't want to do it. I was almost in tears, actually, because poor little guys are, you know, and they're freaking out, you know. But we go through times like that as people, okay, where things come into our lives and we're tested and we're tried, you know? But this is what those little guys did that really surprised me, okay? They're walking around, they're kind of dazed in the pasture. Where's their mama? They go down and they they hit the ground, they get comfortable, and then they and they start to chew their cud. I was amazed by that. Really, I was. It was just a natural reaction to that. It was a comfort to them. And you know what? That's what meditation is in our lives. That's what meditation is. When we go through a trial or a tribulation, we go to the Word, we regurgitate what the Lord has said to us, what He's told us, and we meditate on it, and we bring it up, and we process it. You know, when they chew their cud and when they bring that up, they're processing it. They're breaking it down into a place that their body can use it. And you know what? That's what we need to be doing. That's what the idea of meditation is in the life of the believer, that we regurgitate the truth of God's word, what He has said to us, and we bring it up and we process it and we make it applicable for our body to use, for this life to use. And you know, that's what God wants for you guys. That's what He wants for me. That's what He wants us to do, is to sit there and just to soak up what He has, so that in those times of trial, we can really, you know, we can really experience the abundant life. So, and you'll notice there that Jesus said, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctification. Through the process of your sanctification, through the process of your sanctification and your changing and your yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of His word in your life, you know what? Other people are going to be changed by that. You have a problem in your marriage. You have a problem with the people around you. You have a problem with your children. Sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. Because in that, you're following the pattern that Jesus set here. He said, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified. Awesome. Isn't that awesome? He wants us to walk in that abundant life. He's given us all the things that we need to do it. We just have to settle into that and trust Him. Step out in faith. Let the Lord work in those situations. Take up the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Let it work through you. Be wrung out for the Lord. Don't just sit back on your heels and be safe as a Christian. Be wrung out. God loves His people, and He's got a plan for you and good works for you to walk in. Let's pray. Lord, we just really thank You for this time. We thank You for Your word, because, man, it gives us clarity. It gives us direction. It gives us stability. It gives us safety, Lord, as we just trust You. And especially as we walk in it, and we just don't have it as a knowledge base, but it's pressed out of us, pressed into action. And Lord, I just thank You for each one that's here this morning, because, you know, We are blessed. We are blessed to be able to gather together and to walk in this way together and to hear from Your Spirit. And so I just really pray that You would just touch our lives, Lord, that You would continue to speak to us, that Your word just wouldn't go away, but that, you know, that's what the enemy wants to come, and he wants to steal the seed of Your word out of our hearts and our minds. But Lord, we want to have that fertile heart where it goes in and it produces fruit and ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying, so that it will produce fruit in our hearts and our lives. Because Lord, You know each one that's here. You know the struggles, You know the issues, You know the passions, You know the lust. We deceive ourselves if we think that You don't see it. You know the unforgiveness, You know the bitterness. You understand it, You see it, and Lord, You want to deliver us and set us free. So Lord, I just pray for the working of Your Spirit, the working of Your word in our lives, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.